Are you chaotic good or chaotic bad? Stop being a lazy slacker and bleep, bloop, bloop, bleep, bleep.com. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP's OIT Ready program. Since 2019, OIT Ready has been helping both businesses and individuals with free temporary voice services for those affected by a natural disaster. This program is not only for OIT customers, but for any person or business affected by these events. To apply for assistance or request more information, visit oit.co/OIT Ready.
Good morning and welcome to the October 4th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. I didn't float away. We had a little hurricane happen. We're here alive. Florida's mostly here.
Yeah, I mean, the last picture I saw of Ian was over the entire state. So, yeah, we are doing this in advance again.
This is a U hurricane. Why did you send it to Tampa? No, the whole time it was coming here, we're like, go home. Your home is over there. You don't belong here. It's like,
we don't have to talk about bad stuff because I have really, really, really good news. All right. Deadpool 3 was announced. All right. And better than Deadpool 3 being announced, this video came out with Ryan Reynolds and announced that Hugh Jackman is coming back as Wolverine just for Deadpool. He had said he was done doing Wolverine, except if he could do it in the Avengers or in Deadpool. So I am beyond excited. I watched the video. The video is pure Ryan Reynolds goodness. Tony, our bromance is long detailed and everybody knows about it. But Ryan Reynolds is that one guy I think I'm going to have to say bye-bye to you for, dude. It's Ryan Reynolds.
There can only be one. There can only be one. Let's get into the news.
Let's get into the news.
In our first story, bleepingcomputer.com has a great story by Sergio Gatlan. Amazing author, by the way. New chaos malware infects Windows, Linux devices for DDoS attacks. A quickly expanding botnet called Chaos is targeting and infecting Windows and Linux devices, using them for crypto mining and launching DDoS attacks. This Go-based malware can also infect various architectures, including x86, x86-64, AMD64, MIPS, MIPS64, ARMv5 through ARMv8, ARCH64 and PowerPC, used by a wide range of devices for small office, home office routers, and enterprise servers. It also backdoors hijacked devices by establishing a reverse shell that will allow attackers to reconnect at any time for further exploitation. While analyzing around 100 samples discovered in the wild, security researchers Danny Adamitis, Steve Rudd, and Stephanie Walkinshaw at Lumen's Black Lotus Labs found that Chaos is written in Chinese and uses China-based command and control, C2, infrastructure. Not only does it target enterprise and large organizations, but also devices and systems that aren't routinely monitored as part of the enterprise security model, such as Soho routers and FreeBSD operating system. Quote, with a significant evolution from its predecessor, Chaos is achieving rapid growth since first documented evidence of it in the wild. Ray, we have to talk about this. There's so many parts about this that I want to talk in my notes here. The very first thing is it's a Go-based malware. For those of you who don't know, the Go language is written by Google Go, and it is supposed to take the place of JavaScript. For whatever reason you want to talk about, there's a whole bunch of arguing that's probably going to happen online about why they don't like JavaScript, or the owners of JavaScript, and why Google created this. But it is a born in the cloud operating system concept. It is amazing. It is new and it is very powerful. This is a Go-based malware. That terrifies me. But when you also think about how it is now circumventing down to the hardware level to do essentially whatever it wants. It's not talking about ransomware. It's not talking about, hey, I'm going to make these documents a little bit more difficult to open or pop something up on your screen. It is taking over the hardware level to do crypto mining. What are your thoughts on this? Help me unpack this, because I feel like there's so many different levels of terror in here. I don't know where to start.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I mean, I need to say this. I think the article has to be wrong because Linux doesn't get malware. I mean, that's pretty clear. You know, so just like Apple, it's impossible. Getting malware that infects at the I'm joking for those of the audience before the pitch.
Right now, you just had 20 people like, well, I'm going to switch from Windows and
those
and
keyboard Apple. Warriors are right now. you know, I will say getting hardware level malware, we've seen this, right? We've seen this in the UEFI and the BIOS, and we've seen in the boot sector of hard drives, and we've seen this before. Yes, it becomes infinitely more terrifying, you know, when this stuff happens. But this stuff, it all goes back to, you can't control what you get. You can control the steps you get to get there. So practice good hygiene, evaluate your links. Don't click on everything willy-nilly. You know, use good browser practices, good email practices. If you didn't request it, don't open it. You know, that kind of stuff. Unless I'm sending you an email for a social, then just send me your social security number. It's okay. It's safe. You know, that kind of thing. It gets to the point where there's only so much you can do to protect yourself. But like this stuff, I don't know. I'm flabbergasted. I have nothing to add.
Okay, so let me get back to the giving everyone anxiety attacks, hypertension, and really doing whatever I can to flex the paranoia out there. I'm of the opinion that new languages are going to cause new effects. And in this particular situation, if we have a brand new language that's already being used by the Chinese to do horrible things, we've already got our horrible things in legacy languages. We don't need new languages. I just have a lot of concern, and I just feel like this is the first step to really move things forward. That being said, I'd like to point out, who's the head of this? Who's the boss? Do you think bosses can make an impact? Oh, wait, don't you have a story about bosses making an impact?
Absolutely, I do. And story number two, our business story, bosses are worked up about work from home slackers. Their words, not mine. As reported by Jez Corden on WindowsCentral.com, despite multiple studies suggesting work from home increases productivity, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella says many bosses remain unconvinced. According to a Microsoft.com report, 87% of employees report they are productive, and productivity signals back up those exact claims. However, 85% of leaders say work from home has made it challenging to have confidence that the employees are being productive. Part of this is because managers can no longer rely on the visual cues they were accustomed to. 49% of hybrid managers say they struggle to trust their employees to do their best work. 54% have less visibility into the work their employees do. In contrast, employees who have clarity about their work priorities report a 3.95 times as likely to stay for at least 2 years. They're 7.1 times as likely to say they rarely think about looking for another job, and 4.5 times as likely to say they're happy at their current company. Tony, we've seen this before, you know, with the pandemic brought work from home, work from anywhere. My takeaway from this is maybe it's not about the employee changes. It's finding managers capable of managing this next class of employee. What's your take on this?
Communication. I think that at the end of the day, let's be blunt. If you're not sending the data to your manager because your manager is not doing the actual work, there is no work. I have this. I've talked about this before on the show. I run a support team. You run a support team. If you can't replicate the problem, there is no problem. So don't try to solve something that you. It's common sense. when we filter out the white noise. But in the case of a manager trying to explain to, let's say, their director, or the director trying to explain to their VP, or the VP trying to explain to the C-level, they're not doing the actual work. They need the data. They need the summary, the overview, the who, what, why, where, when, and how in the first two sentences. And here's the statistical factual data to back it up. If you don't have that information, communication, nothing's being done, even though everything's actually being done. And that's the number one problem with anything in the operations world. If it's just working, no one says thank you. That's the worst part. I mean,
it is. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, we're so used to squeaky wheel gets the grease that, you know, it's hard. The hardest thing you can do as a manager is be able to monitor and understand the silence, you know, to know that just because you don't see stuff coming up, it doesn't mean nothing's happening. It could mean things are going the way you expect them to. You're looking for different tea leaves. You're looking for different smoke signals. And that's why I say it takes a different class of manager, or maybe a different class of training, to be able to monitor. I think this is something that time is going to solve, right? As these employees become managers themselves, become leaders themselves, they're going to be more acclimated to, this is how I was productive as an employee. These are the telltale signs of a productive employee that's working from anywhere. And I can tell you, as a fully remote company, it's challenging. It's absolutely challenging, but it's a challenge that's worthwhile. When you get employees, I have an employee now that I just found out, apparently she's off all week because she's moving to Alaska. I had no idea. And you know what I say to that? Awesome. Absolutely awesome. You know, and it's one of those things that when the employee is empowered to live their life and still enjoy their employment and still have a better quality of life and do all the things they want to do, I mean, that's the holy grail, right? That's what we're looking for.
How dare you? How dare you suggest that the employee should be happy and have a balance? Who do you think you are? Let's get back to the traditional manager. Why aren't you at your desk? Why hasn't your mouse moved in the last 3 minutes? Are you playing Doom? I get angry when I talk work. You know, we have work at home employees. I've had back when you know, big hurricanes hit Katrina hit New Orleans. I had one of my employees said, "Hey, do you mind if I just move there just to help out?" I'm like, "Have fun. I don't care. I mean, you're doing your job. If I talk to you, that means I'm wondering what's going on. If I don't talk to you, and I've talked to every one of my employees about this, if I don't talk to you for 90 days in a row, that means you're doing your job and I don't want to look at you. I don't want to mess this up. Whatever this is, I don't want to mess it up." So, I think there's going to be a new caliber, a new breed, a new species of manager. And I think there's going to be an evolution of the language that goes to said manager or said supervisor or director, or whatever it is. So everybody knows exactly the coordinated interactions and the connective tissue between all layers.
And that's something I want to see. If you're one of those employees that either wants to work from home or is working from home, or a manager that's figured this out, hit us up in the comments, hit us up on social, let us know so we can educate the rest of you how we can all do better. But speaking of doing better, Tony, we have a lot of domains. I'm not going to say
it. What's going on? There's nothing better about this. In SiliconANGLE.com, we have an article by Duncan Riley. Akamai detects 79 million malicious domain names in the first half of 2022. New research from Akamai Technology has found that about 20% of all domain names registered, some 79 million, were registered for malicious purposes for the first half of this year. How was this determined? Many registrations look like names that would never be typed into a browser window because they're just not human readable and they look like they're computer generated. The question that was raised was why? According to researchers, malicious actors often register thousands of domains in bulk. They do this so that if one of their domains is flagged or blocked, they can simply switch to another one that they own. The domain names are typically programmatically being used as a generation algorithm. That process is part of what makes the NODs, with the NODs, dangerous because there's a persistent way of attacking an organization from multiple angles. Ray, you and I talked about this offline. I am terrified about this particular article for a variety of reasons. The first one was, well, This is a Gatling gun of domains, and you're going to see, just for everyone's edification, you're going to see, you know, click on this to validate your X, and it's starbucks.com/registration/someobscureurl.com And so you're like, you're seeing all these letters, numbers. Oh, it must be starbucks.com or google.com or bankofamerica.com. So I'm going to click it because I saw that in there. If that doesn't work, they switch it to another URL because that's blocked. Okay. And they can continue to do this. We talked about this offline. As soon as I said that, your first reaction was, that's dope. That's pretty cool. Now,
it is. I mean, the best automation engineers in the world are the bad guys. It's absolutely true. I wish it wasn't, but it's absolutely true. It drives me nuts. It's dope. Don't tell me it's not.
In my mind, I know that it's dope. In my heart, I'm like, man, that is just well done. But I need to play the better person and say, oh, I'm so terrified. But hey, secretly, that's a pretty badass way of doing it. Congratulations. I mean, what do we do to get around this? I mean, because now there is no end in the article. And by the way, there's a huge, very technical, complicated way that they do this. And they talk about it in the article. 79 million, they register thousands of domains in bulk. 79 million domains. I don't see an end to this. Is it just best practice to validate the domain that you're going to? Are we talking about just an education process to resolve all this? Or is there a more automated way to create a better security hygiene practice?
So two things here. One, I don't use DNS. I just hard code all the websites into my host file. No, I'm kidding. No. Well, oh, my gosh. I mean,
inside, I'm like, that's dope. That's dope.
as long as I do it programmatically, right? No. My takeaway when we were talking about this pre-show was, I mean, besides this dope, is why does this happen? I don't get how this is possible, because the registrar, APIs, common practice in APIs is rate limiting. You absolutely know the source addresses. You absolutely know the accounts that are used to register these. So if the registrar is, there's no way you can tell me 59 million addresses are getting registered and they're not noticing these.
79 million.
I'm sorry. Now I think you're, it's 250 million. I don't care anymore. You know what I mean? If it's more than two, there's no way you can tell me these registrars don't see this amount of traffic coming in. That is not normal for one company, one entity to register 1,000 domains at a time. And you can't tell me we don't have the heuristics to sit there and look and say these TLD or not the TLDs, these FQDNs are, they're a little weird. How many people are registering XYZ apple banana chocolate mango.com.x? Like, why can we not solve for this? This is frustrating to me.
I think what's being said, though, just to be clear, is that if there was some involvement from outside of just the registration of it, meaning the registrar, there's a policy in there, there's some catching tools, we would be able to slow, if not stop this. I think that's what you're saying. But because of the lack of regulation, this is still the wild, wild west. And people are playing all of these rules the best way that they can, because there are so few rules. People think there's a lot of rules. There are not that many. And some horrible things are being done. 79 million domains since the beginning of this year, since the first half of this year. But I think there has to be a code of conduct. So we'll get into some of those notable mentions. We should probably have people talk about this. I mean, is this something we should have comments on? I mean, how many domains are people out there registering? Is this still happening all the time? Or are you just registering, you know, my favorite dog?
What am I missing? What am I missing that makes it so complicated to solve for this? Please tell me, educate us in the comments below. Somebody's going to give me a good reason and I'm going to look like an idiot next episode. And
that's okay, exactly what's going to happen. Oh.
You know, we'll always have DSC. Why don't we get into the notable mentions?
Let's do it.
And my first notable mention, better than JPEG. As reported by Benj Edwards on ArsTechnica.com, Swiss engineer Matthias Boomen, and I apologize for butchering that if I did, discovered a possibly better compression algorithm using stable diffusion, which results in subjectively better looking images than their JPEG and WebP counterparts. An image of a llama was reduced from a 768 kilobyte file, into a 5.68 kilobyte JPEG, into a 5.71 kilobyte WebP file, and down to a 4.98 kilobyte file using Stable Diffusion. Stable Diffusion does have some caveats. It does not do well with text and faces. In my second notable mention, understanding microaggressions, as reported by Jessica Meek on Channel Pro Network. While DEI, known as diversity, equity, and inclusion, have become an important element of most organizational cultures, microaggressions remain a challenge. Microaggressions are comments that demean or insult colleagues from an underrepresented group, according to Daryl Wing Su, professor of psychology and education at Columbia University of New York. Su quoted, "They're oftentimes delivered by perpetrators seemingly as compliments or innocent statements," he explains. "But microaggressions are not simply individual statements or acts. They are an unconscious worldview of inclusion, exclusion, superiority, and inferiority. Most people who commit microaggressions are well-meaning individuals who see themselves as good moral people who would never consciously or deliberately discriminate. The most common example cited is being told, 'You're well-spoken.' Remember, communication is not just what you say, but what the other person understands. And understanding microaggressions is about understanding how the other person might receive your message. There are some ways to deal with it. One is to be open to feedback from employees when they tell you they've been the victim of a microaggression from you or a colleague. Sue recommends microaggression trainings in the workplace across all levels."
In our next notable mention from darkreading.com, should hacking have a code of conduct? Earlier this year, when international cyber gang Lapsus attacked major brands including Samsung, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and password manager Okta, an ethical line seemed to have been crossed for many cyber criminals. Even by their murky standards, the extent of the breach, the disruption caused, and the profile of the businesses involved was just too much. So the cybercrime community came together to punish Lapsus by leaking information on the group, a move that ultimately led to their arrest and breakup. The question is, so maybe there is honor among thieves after all? And finally, in our next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Lazarus hacker drops macOS malware via crypto.com job offers. The North Korean Lazarus hacking group is now using fake crypto.com job offers to hack developers and artists in the crypto space, likely with a long-term goal of stealing digital assets and cryptocurrency. The Lazarus hacking group has been using a campaign dubbed Operation Interception since 2020, where they target people working in the cryptocurrency industry. The threat actor's goal is to trick targets into opening malicious files that infect their systems with malware that can be used to breach the internal networks of crypto companies to steal large amounts of cryptocurrency, NFTs, or conduct espionage. Lazarus typically approaches their targets via LinkedIn, sending them a direct message to inform them of a lucrative job opening in their large company. Like the previous macOS campaigns, the hacker sent a macOS binary posing as a PDF containing a 26-page PDF file named crypto.com_job_opportunities_2022_confidential.pdf that contains alleged job vacancies at crypto.com. Please see this link in our show notes to uncover the extremely technical details on how this new hacking process comes to fruition.
In upcoming community events, October 3rd through October 6th, in-person event, NetSapiens UGM in Miami. October 4th through October 7th, in-person event, Vision 2022 in Dallas, Texas. October 6th through October 7th, in-person event, ASCII Success Cup in Dallas, Texas. October 7th at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up, presented by yours truly and Mr. Tony Francisco. October 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern, the next episode of 38 at 38, featuring Mr. Tony Francisco. Those of you that attended Huntress's Hackett 2021 or any of the previous sessions will be delighted to know They're back at it. And joining me to talk about it is Mr. John Hammond, the senior cybersecurity researcher over at Huntress.
What we like to bring with Hackett 2022 is a lot of education, hands-on experience, interactive stuff to get you in the know about what threats are out there. We are diving into three different sessions during the content days, November 15th and 16th. So you have two chances to catch the content.
And then on top of that, you guys have a pre-day event also, right?
So what we call Day Zero is a hands-on hacking training lab. Cutting through code, slinging exploits, a lot of fun and very cool stuff.
MSP Media Network is actually going to give away 5 of the zero-day licenses. We'll put the information below, but absolutely we invite you guys to sign up for Hackett 2022.
Excellent. See you soon.
So that takes us out, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for watching. Tony, your insight, your commentary, amazing as always. We appreciate you, dude. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, you are amazing, Ray. I'm glad you are here. Next time, keep all the hurricanes to yourself. They stay belong in your area, not in North Florida, South Florida. But we're so happy that everything turned out well, and we love you guys.
As I like to say, take care of yourselves and you, Tony, and each other.
Take care, brother.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Mute. Ray is on mute. Ray is on mute. Blooper number one. Blooper number one. Look at him. Punish Lapsus by leaking information on the group, a move that ultimately led to their arrest and breakup. So maybe there's an honor among thieves? Ah, me. Did you see that? Ah, hold on. Hold on. Can you hear me? I don't know. Can you guys hear me? I don't know if you guys
can. Yeah, we can hear you, man.
Oh, that's a power. Hold on. It's good. I'm back up. We have. I think I'm not joking. We probably have another like 20 minutes max, and then I'm done. In our next notable mention from darkreading.com, should hacking have a code of conduct? Hold on. Okay, I've got. I'm going to blaze through. You guys can hear me, right? Hold on. I can't hear you guys.
Yeah, we can hear you. Okay,
I've got... Hold on, I'm going to unplug this real quick. An ethical line seemed to have been crossed for many cyber criminals. I think we may need to do a close. Hold on, Okay. I'm so sorry. How about I'll do the reading. So, oh wait, I'm back. Here we go. One more time.